participating. Iran's president says that Israel does not respect any international and moral principles and is committing inhumane crimes in Gaza to cover up for its internal problems. The Iranian security forces foiled two simultaneous terrorist attacks in southeastern province of Sistan and Balochistan. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. Now, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says this year's International Quds Day will be a global uproar against the Zionist regime in which people in non-Muslim countries will also participate. In a meeting with heads of the three branches of government, Ayatollah Khamenei said the Israeli regime will continue to be the losing party in Gaza. He added the regime's recent crimes against Iranian military advisors in Syria will not save it from defeat. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed the Israeli regime will be punished for its aggression. International condemnation followed the Israeli airstrike on Iran's consulate in the Syrian capital. The European Union was the latest to join the calls to condemn this attack after multiple countries, including Iraq, Venezuela, Oman, Qatar, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, China, and Russia, denounced the aggression by Israel as unacceptable. Iran's foreign minister says a recent Israeli terrorist attack on the country's diplomatic premises in Syria violates international principles on immunity of diplomats and diplomatic missions. Hossein Amir Abdullahian was speaking in a phone conversation with European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell, calling on the bloc to condemn this attack in the strongest terms. He asked how EU will react if a similar attack had hit the Western Embassy in Ukraine. Iran's top diplomat criticized EU for urging Iran to show self-restraint while Israel continues violating all international laws and principles. Touching on the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza, Amir Abdullahian said regime's crimes continue with full U.S. support, adding U.S. will be directly responsible for any escalation of tensions in the region if it does not stop supporting Israel's war crimes. And Borrell, for his part, said the EU believes Israel's attack on the Iranian embassy is at odds with efforts to reduce regional tensions. And the Syrian government held a ceremony in Damascus to pay homage to seven Iranian military advisors killed in that Monday Israeli attack on the consular section of the Iranian embassy.
This is a first of its kind in Syria to commemorate the funeral of the martyrs. This is the second martyr here. The first one were all the martyrs now heading to the ambulances, which will after this go to Sayyida Zainab Shrine to be heading to Iran later. We were at the embassy where we also met several governmental party members, prominent party members, who came to pay their respect and give condolences to the Iranian people, to the Republic, to the Islamic Republic of Iran, for the martyrs of the IRGC. We have met with also the representative of Al-Nujaba movement. He said that the Islamic resistance in Iraq will take it personally and respond to this attack. They started already with this response to this treacherous attack. The ceremony now begun. We are here currently bidding farewell to these martyrs who gave their lives while wearing their military uniform, defending Syria against terrorism, supporting the resistance, giving aid to the resistance in Gaza.
A European Union's joint chorus of condemnation against Israel's recent deadly airstrike on Iran's embassy in Syria. EU says diplomatic and consular premises and personnel must be protected in all cases and circumstances. In a social media post, Peter Stano, a spokesperson for the executive part of the European Commission, called on regional countries to show utmost restraint. On Monday, Israeli warplanes bombed the consular section of that Iranian embassy in Damascus, killing two senior Iranian military commanders who were in Syria on an advisory mission, as long as five accompanying officers. Prior to International Quds Day, a pro-Palestinian event called Quds Pulpit has been held simultaneously in Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Yemen, and Syria. A number of resistance front leaders addressed this event.
On the blessed Al-Quds Day, I salute all the mujahideen and all the great fighters from amongst our people, those who have humiliated the forces of the Zionist enemy and have broken its awe and its hubris, and continue to do so. I also bow down to our people in Gaza. We step forward to provide it with support as much as we can, and we are ongoingly trying to advance our missile and naval capabilities to contribute further in supporting and standing with the Palestinian people, and also to attack the Israeli enemy. The Palestinian oppressed people are suffering from oppression and are suffering from killing and kidnapping and torture and demolishing of homes and also demolishing of agricultural lands. The Zionist aggression against our people and its sanctities would not have continued and reached this level of brutality were it not for the American cover provided, but rather effective American participation in the crimes of this occupation, and were it not for the American direct participation in the aggression against our people by providing the Zionist occupation with thousands of tons of lethal weapons and bombs and missiles. What is taking place today in Gaza is that the Zionist entity is not committing to any of the humanitarian and legal and international principles, and it commits brutal crimes, inhumane crimes, to cover up for its weaknesses internally. And today, the Palestinian cause and the cause of Gaza separates between two, between commitment and the abandonment or carelessness towards humanitarian principles. Today, the Iraqi government, the honorable Iraqi government, and the Iraqi people and the Islamic resistance, they are more insisting on the withdrawal of these troops and achieving complete national sovereignty to our people in Gaza and in Palestine. What is important, my dear colleagues, is that we must take action for us to come out, God willing, from this battle, to come out victorious with our heads high, successful, and for defeat to be dealt to the enemy and to all those who stand behind this enemy.
Iranian security forces have foiled two simultaneous terrorist attacks in southeastern province of Sistan and Balochistan. A local security official said attacks hit two police and military posts in cities of Rosk and Chabahar. According to local officials, a number of terrorists affiliated with Pakistan-based Jaish-ul-Ahd terror outfit have been killed or wounded in the attacks. Now, they said three Iranian security forces also lost their lives, and no more details have so far been given, but Jaish-ul-Ahd terror group has conducted a number of similar attacks in recent months, some of them deadly. A group claimed responsibility for an attack back in December on a police station in the city of Rosk, which killed at least 11 police officers. Now, on January 10th, another attack by the group on a police station in the same city left one policeman dead. Days after that attack, Iran launched simultaneous drone and missile strikes on two Jaish-ul-Ahd bases in Pakistan, killing or injuring a number of terrorists. Joining us now from San Francisco, California, for more on the story is Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer. Hello, Scott. Hope you're safe and doing well. It's been a while. Haven't spoken to you, but good to check in with you. Your thoughts on this group in Pakistan, Jaish-e-Mohammed, that's been going hard at that Iranian border for some time. Iran gave a pretty heavy-handed response the last time it did so. A couple months have passed. Why do you think the group is at it again?
Or like a clock ticking, and what is happening at different numbers on the clock? What's happening at 8 o'clock and what's happening at 2 o'clock? 8 o'clock is Gaza, is Palestine, is the Israeli slaughter and the attack upon the Iranian consulate in Syria and various genocidal, maniacal tactics of murder. And it's not war, it's murder. Murdering Americans, Canadians, British aid workers intentionally, murdering people on the beach, walking innocently, women and children. And then this attack occurs against the Iranian border with this Jaish-e al-Daesh group you're referring to. And it just seems they're a proxy of the real Zionist enemy, the real death to the world that needs to be extinguished like a fire. And that's what Nasrallah and the others are talking about, is slowly rising in the Muslim character, personality, and devotion to God, and snuffing out this fire with prayers and with gentleness but effectiveness and absolute victory. And I think that day is coming. But this is a distraction to, I think, deter or bring Iranian intelligence and forces looking in a different direction. So it's always a misdirection. What is Mossad's statement? Through deception, make war. So we always have to keep that in mind.
Right, and Scott, back in January 19th, in an interview with Iran's Amir News Agency, Shamshad Ahmed Khan, former Foreign Secretary of Pakistan, said that Pakistan and Iran enjoy deep diplomatic ties, that there are no fundamental differences between the two countries, he said, adding there's just some strategic issues, and that he strongly believes Jaish al-Adl is a U.S.-backed terrorist group. Your point, that it's a Western-backed a proxy, and the Russian president, you very well know that terror attack a couple weeks ago wasn't buying it, that it was strictly ISIS, Khorasan, that there's for sure Western footprints behind that attack.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. You bullseyed it right in the center, that group in Pakistan being an American proxy, CIA, Mossad, joint operation. This is their telltale operation and operatives throughout all of their theaters of violence, revolution, overthrow, whether it's Syria, whether it's Venezuela, whether it's Libya, Ukraine. This is the tell. And this group being a U.S.-backed group, no doubt, right with that, you get, of course, British assistance, Israeli assistance, Canadian assistance, Australian assistance, American assistance, CIA substations, State Department embassies and consulates. So you have a whole network and an apparatus and a web of assistance. And that's what the U.S. and NATO has been doing in Ukraine. That's what they're doing in Israel. And that's what they're doing in the northern area against Iran. Now, you have to solve it through soft power with a little kinetic mix. And that's what you're describing with the relationship between the Iranians and the Pakistani top-level government and diplomats. There's harmony there. There's creativity, there's hope, there's prosperity and a desire to flourish and please God, and that will be the social fabric that you can build over this group and slowly strangle it out of existence and deny it resources. So I think this is a very short suffering that Iran has to go through.
All right, thanks, Scott. Always a pleasure to check in with you, and by the way, happy Easter to you and your loved ones out there. Scott Bennett joining us from San Francisco, California. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it's carried out new strikes against Israeli targets in occupied territories in support of Gazans. The Iraqi Resistance said both operations were carried out using drones. First attack targeted Israel's Ramat David Air Base southeast of the city of Haifa. The second, resistance drones hit a vital target in the city of Ashdod. The Iraqi Resistance said the new operations are in response to the Israeli massacres of Palestinian civilians, including women, children, and the elderly. The group said it will continue its operations against the regime's strongholds. In recent months, the Islamic resistance in Iraq has carried out a spate of attacks against Israeli targets. It's also hit U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in retaliation for Washington's support for Israel's onslaught. International Quds Day is an annual pro-Palestinian event marked on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. The day was designated by founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, back in 1979 in solidarity with Palestinians. Now, people worldwide will mark this year's Quds Day on the coming Friday. Our correspondent in Baghdad, Muslim Salim, has spoken to people about the event and its importance.
Today, as we witness the Israeli genocide against Palestinians, we call on the Muslim world to stand up for Palestine and show their support. The whole world is witnessing the systematic killing of innocent people in Gaza. Even after the UN Security Council ordered to stop this genocide, the Zionist regime insists on continuing its crimes.
It's a day of solidarity with the Palestinian people and to remind the world of this humanitarian case, which represents the will and struggle of the free people against colonialism.
The great Imam Khomeini initiated the Quds Day after many countries left Palestine behind. We commemorate this day annually to expose those who attempt to normalize their relationship with the Zionist regime.
International Quds Day, which was initiated by Imam Khomeini, is a great event that pushed the Palestinian issue to the fore. It showed how the axis of resistance is an indispensable regional force, and it highlighted the rights of the Palestinians.
The genocide against Palestinians makes it imperative for the Islamic nation and the whole free world to stand together this Friday during International Quds Day to show their solidarity with the people of Palestine.
Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The Limelight.
According to a newly released video and audio, Savannah Graziano, a 15-year-old teenager who was abducted by her father in September of 2022, was shot and killed by sheriff's deputies as she followed their instructions and ran towards them on the side of a California highway. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of the story. Please stay with us. ¶¶ British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Newly released law enforcement video footage captures the moment California police fatally shot an unarmed 15-year-old teenage girl who was reported kidnapping victim. On 27th of September 2022, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputies were searching for Savannah Graziano, who was feared abducted by her father, Anthony Graziano, after he had fatally shot her mother the day before. The deputies found Anthony Graziano's vehicle on the side of a freeway in Hesperia, just 80 miles east of Los Angeles, California. When Savannah Graziano exited the vehicle, they opened fire and killed her. The shooting sparked national concern, with critics questioning how police officers wound up killing the teenage girl they were tasked with rescuing. Sheriff's officials claimed following the shooting that it was unclear whether Savannah was shot by deputies or her father, and they said deputies didn't realize it was her when she got out of the car. For nearly 2 years, they refused to release the video footage of the incident. But recently, the department disclosed nearly a dozen video files to the independent journalist Joey Scott, who filed records requests 18 months prior. The video clips, which were shared with Guardian and include helicopter footage, show deputies shooting at Savannah as she followed their instructions to move towards them. The videos also suggest deputies shot her after two police officers remarked that it was the girl who exited. The video footage and the sheriff's narration of the video further make clear she was killed by the deputies and not by her father. The sheriff's department has declined to comment on the case. The video footage will increase scrutiny on the Sheriff's Department, already under fire after deputies recently killed Ryan Gaynor, an autistic 15-year-old teenage boy. Ryan Gaynor was having a mental health episode when he was fatally shot by two deputies within seconds of encountering him. The killing raised concerns about the use of lethal force on children and failures to de-escalate crises. The search for Savannah started on 26th of September 2022 when her father, according to officials, shot and killed her mother and shot at her father and his child outside a school in nearby Fontana, California. Authorities on that day issued an Amber Alert for Savannah, saying she was suspected, abducted or taken by her father. The following morning, a 911 call reported seeing Graziano's pickup truck and Savannah purchasing items at a gas station. Police soon located Graziano speeding on a nearby freeway, prompting the start of a chaotic chase. When deputies caught up with the vehicle, shots were fired from inside towards police, according to the police department, which shared photos that showed its cars were damaged. The video footage released on Friday, 29th of March, is the first to shed light on what happened next. Filmed by a California Highway Patrol helicopter, it captures Anthony Graziano speeding through traffic and deputies reaching him after he attempted to drive up an embankment but lost traction. When the car stopped near deputies, the video footage shows Savannah exited the vehicle, and a CHP official on the radio can be heard stating, "Girl is out, the girl is out, guys. She's out on the passenger side." The video shows she crouches on the ground for about 10 seconds and then walks towards a group of about 7 deputies, followed by a boom that appears to be at least one deputy shooting at her, though the department blurred out Savannah at this moment. The CHP dispatcher can be heard saying, "Oh no." The deputies were not wearing body cameras, but the department also shared audio from the belt of the deputy standing closest to the girl. That audio captures the deputy shouting, "Passenger, get out! as gunfire is heard in the background. The deputy then shouts, come to me, walk, walk. Then he says, hey, stop shooting at her. He's in the car. At least four shots can be heard in the background after he said to stop. The sheriff's statement describing that audio said, you can hear a deputy calling her over and telling other deputies that the person who exited the truck was the passenger and for them to stop firing, but it was too late. Savannah was pronounced dead at a hospital. Anthony Graziano was also shot by deputies and died at the scene, though the video clips do not make clear when that happened. The website Reddit has also covered the same story and tells us more. The evidence released recently also does not make clear who fired at police from inside Graziano's vehicle. The sheriff's department has suggested that Graziano was firing at police officers and that it's possible that Savannah also fired at police officers. The department said this aspect of the incident remains under investigation. CJ Wyatt, Savannah's uncle, said he understood it was a confusing and chaotic situation for police officers to manage, but that his niece should not have been shot at. There needs to be better training so that unarmed people aren't killed. Hopefully this video can be used for training purposes. Something has to be done differently. She didn't have to die. Savannah's uncle added, in the video, the police response appeared disorganized and it sounded as if at least one deputy who was calling Savannah was trying to protect her. You can tell he was really trying to save her, so it's just unfortunate that there was some kind of miscommunication between the police officers. He clearly knew it was Savannah, so what is the difference between him and the other police officers? Wyatt said blame ultimately lied with Savannah's father, who he described as abusive and manipulative. As her parents were separating in the weeks prior to the incident, Savannah had been living in her father's truck, he added. She was a really sweet girl at her core and she didn't deserve this. He also paid tribute to his sister, Tracy Martinez, killed by Graziano, his father. She was a dedicated mother, a hard worker, as a pharmacy technician, and a caring individual. He said he hoped more people struggling with abuse reached out for help. Sharon Brunner, a civil rights lawyer in San Bernardino, California, said it appeared no one was in charge of coordinating the police officer's strategy. She said it was possible there was contagious fire, with deputies' own shots encouraging others to fire. She said San Bernardino County does not train law enforcement to handle these high-stress situations appropriately. They have a very brutal approach of shoot first, ask questions later. She said there could have been better efforts to control the scene and get Savannah to safety. It sounds like the Wild Wild West and an innocent child lost their life because of it. Jim Terrell, another local civil rights lawyer, said the case followed a pattern of department using undisciplined firepower. Jim Terrell added, cover and assessment are replaced with fear, anxiety, and lots of shots fired. The California Department of Justice is investigating the case under a law requiring inquiries into police killings of unarmed people. Officials have not named the involved police officers. The video footage puts more pressure on an already embattled police department. In addition to the killing of Ryan Gaynor, the police department has faced criticism after a video recently captured a deputy punching and kneeing a man under arrest in Hesperia, California. In December, a sheriff's deputy was arrested on suspicion of being under the influence of cocaine, and he resigned. We'll be right back.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arabic English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Muslim Ladies. Well, once again, I have the honor and the pleasure to be here as your host. This is Asma, of course. And here with me, I have the pleasure to sit with Sister Nahid. She's a researcher on women's study, and then let her talk about herself. So, assalamu alaikum, sister.
Assalamu alaikum to you and all your dear listeners. This is Nahid, and I'm so honored to be with you today.
Thank you for My coming pleasure. Here. Well, as for today, we are going to cover up some more factors. As you know, previously in Muslim Lady, we covered some factors about a perfect marriage. We went through maturity, the awareness that a woman must have. Then we got to some important points like you must be compatible, you must match and fit each other's perspective and definitions. And also we went through this financial compatibility to be stable in your financial status before getting married. Like we talked about the detailed part of it because it has got some aspects into itself. And then also we talked about emotional maturity, which is so important because without that, you're not going to understand each other. And also you're not going to have a perfect life. So now we're going to get into some more of these interesting factors.
Yeah, the next factor we're going to talk about is the communication skills. As what I mean is that effective communication is
now,
crucial.
Now, this one is the most important one.
Yeah, and it is very crucial. Like, yeah. You should be able to communicate with your partner to understand their needs, to understand what they want from life, and especially in the cases of conflicts and arguments. If you don't have a good communication skill, you're not supposed to face the problem and match the problem with the solutions. Like, you're not supposed to find a correct way to solve your life problems.
Like, there was this study about the divorces that happen in the courts. Like, they have asked men and women, and what they come up with was the result was just like this, that most of these divorces happen because men and women do not have the right skills to communicate with each other. Like, maybe the two of them really love each other, but the problem is they cannot convey their meaning.
Yeah, there are a lot of disagreements. Like, they disagree with each other, but they can't say. If we even ask a lot of couples right now, they will say, like, my husband is not listening to me.
Exactly.
Like, my wife doesn't listen to me. And sometimes we are being too much, like, self-oriented.
Yeah.
We're not seeing the other person. We're not communicating with the other person. And
I must say that, you know, you and me both can look at the same thing, but we're not going to see the same thing. The way we're going to define that thing is differently. Now, this skill, where the skill comes exactly at this point when I come to understand that you're a different personality. Like, even if you are in disagreement with what I say, it does not mean that you're my enemy.
Yeah.
You're having that, and I must accept you with all those disagreements.
You know, life is full of subjective issues.
Exactly.
And, that is what calls for your attention, your understanding of
that is fact. Where maturity comes.
Yeah.
Like, you must accept the other person as the way they are.
Skill, you know, it's a whole skill to be able to deal with the other person, with the opposing ideas, and how to find solutions together while you're
different,
your ideas are different,
while
your mindsets are different, and even your definition of the results are different.
Just try to come to this point that When your partner in life has got different perspective from yours, that does not mean that they are your enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you can still have a perfect, lovely life together with accepting all those differences. Like, you can still make decisions while you know that the other person is in disagreement in whatever you have in your mind.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the point that leads to a good life and can just help them. You know, life is sometimes viewed in the idea of the young generation as a change that is so sweet. We will have good memories. We will travel with each other.
Life is going to be so peachy so pink and so everything is so beautiful, but it's not like
that. And when they face the very, very first challenge in life, they start to just give up. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot understand you, and because you have the opposite idea of mine, I'm not going to accept
you. The honeymoon phase, they come out of that phase, and then they face the reality. Like, there was a psychologist out there who once said that marriage is just like getting into a place with a climate. But what the youngsters have in their mind is just like this honeymoon stuff that they have in their mind. That
it's like they just see the first month.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's going to be like the time when you are just betrothed to each other. Like when the time you're getting to know each other, everything is so sweet. Everybody is trying to show a perfect picture of themselves. Maybe even they go to the point in which they do not show their real pictures, their real images.
Those pictures are sometimes fake.
Exactly. Like, because you're interested in someone, you try not to show your disagreement. And they would think like, okay, they are in full harmony with my own thoughts.
There's officially no challenge at that time. Yeah. Like, they're just both trying to satisfy the other person. And,
exactly.
They don't face any challenges. So that's why they don't see that
the
in life.
The story starts when all those hallucinations
are gone,
and then you get in under the same roof and the same house with the same issues and problem. The story starts right there, and the challenges are going to start right there. So just as we're talking about this honeymoon phase, which is going to be broken one day, let's get into a break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, Muslim ladies, here on program. Well, I am Asma, and Sister Nahid is in here. We're talking about the list of issues regarding marriage and the factors that would lead into a perfect marriage. We have covered numerous number of them, but then right now we're going to get into some more.
Yeah, family approval. You know, in Islam, family approval is often considered important before entering into a marriage to ensure support and harmony with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean like we should get into the challenge that some families are just putting in the way of the young people to marriage.
Like, unfortunately, headlessly, they would just draw these obstacles in the middle of the road of their children.
Yeah, I'm not talking about those kinds of like following whatever the families are providing you with, like even stopping yourself from marriage because of those obstacles, either by the girl's family or the boy's family. What I'm talking about is that sometimes families, like mothers and fathers, can be the best counselors for their own child because they have seen life better than them. They have seen life
longer than them. They've been there and done that.
Yeah. And this kind of cancellation can really pave the way for them, like when they know the challenges at that time that we mentioned, that girl and boy are just in the romantic ideal life and they don't face any challenges, and they're not aware that later on they're gonna face a lot of challenges. If parents, if even family members, like sisters, older brothers, if they aware them of the problems, the obstacles, the challenges of life, give them the knowledge of life, give them the true knowledge of life, because here again we have some issues, like some ideas are subjective. Maybe my brother sees some challenges bigger, like exaggerated. But what I mean is that if families provide the couples with the logical information, with acceptable
and
information.
And support.
Exactly. And support, they will choose better and they will start a much better life.
Right now, I must actually address the youngsters, like the girls and the boys, of course. But we're talking to the girls. So girls are the main concern of us. Unfortunately, some of the girls get into wrong decisions just because of that childish idealism and that, unfortunately, idiotic romanticism sometimes, I must say.
We can refer to the fact that they're not emotionally mature.
Exactly. Yet. Like, they get into these problematic decisions that would destroy their entire life. Yeah. Even though their parents have warned them many times, but they did not pay any heed to it. The result is that they're going to destroy the beautiful future they might have had with another person with the wrong decision they're going to make. So I must say that sometimes, yes, we have seen it a lot of times that families would do things subjectively, like they would go for their own selves and what they want for their children. But unfortunately, what they're doing unconsciously is to hurt and destroy their children's future. Now, aside from that, we have seen a lot of these examples that the children do not pay any attention to what their parents say, though what their parents are just telling them is so logical.
Yeah, they're seeing the beyond, you know?
Yeah, they're seeing beyond the curtains. So the children, unfortunately, do not pay any attention, and the result is so, unfortunately, scary.
Yeah, and that's why this factor is mostly for the young girls and boys who are on the edge of marriage.
There is this obstacle that you actually, as the guys who want to marry, see it as an obstacle coming from your parents, just give it double thinking.
Yeah.
Like, stop and think. Maybe their perspective is going to tell you some other stuff. And not everything that you think is bad is going to be bad for you.
Yeah. Putting yourself in the parents' shoes will give you a new mindset. Like, you'll understand life much better. And that kinds of feelings and emotions and the excitement that you have at that time may sometimes stop you from seeing the reality.
Yeah. So family approval is very important. Not that you follow their approval headlessly with no care and consideration of other factors, but give it a second thought. Maybe that's also going to be helpful.
Yeah. And the next factor I'm going to mention is the fact that we should be able to trust people. You know, trust and respect are the two sides of a successful life. And if couples are able to trust each other and understand the respect that they are supposed to have for each other, they can surely have a kind of a good life with challenges for sure, but they will be able to solve the challenges with the least difficulty, with the least problems within themselves.
And it's not a one-way ticket, you know? It's two ways.
Yeah,
like, trust breeds trust.
Yeah, and
it's
also
not
respect.
That I am the only one who's going to give that trust. No,
yeah.
It is a mutual thing. You have to have it on both sides,
and
like the girls
at the same
and the boys.
Time. We are supposed to respect our partner, and our partner for sure is supposed to give that respect back.
I would put it this way, that a marriage without respect is actually nothing.
Yeah.
Like, respect is very important.
Yeah, can't agree more. Like, respect is the thing that starts that relationship, leads to better communication. And
that's the backbone of a perfect relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Respect is so important. Like, what we see in today's world, unfortunately, is that sometimes the couples take respect for granted. Like, they would not care about it too much. And they would think, they would call this as being too friendly with each other. But unfortunately, that's not true. I guess there must be some sort of respect.
No, being friendly and respecting each other are two different issues. Like, we are friends, we understand each other, we try to do our best to satisfy each other. But at the same time, we are respecting, we're keeping the respect. We're not officially insulting each other under the label of just being friendly.
Yeah. And I just mentioned that because of this misconception that we see it nowadays. Like, they think they're friends, but under that pretext, they would disrespect each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is not a perfect...
That destroys
an ideal way of having a relationship. So, yes, thank you, sister.
My pleasure.
Still, I guess it was so interesting, and still there are so much more to know about the important factors to have a perfect marriage. But then this was all the time that we had for today's episode. Until another session, I just leave you to God's never-sleeping eyes, and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something. Something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama that are Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the episode of Ramadan special series, we are going to explain Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran. The ayah speaks on righteous deeds and the equality of man and woman in this regard. Stay tuned, please. Ramadan is the month of a banquet whose host is Allah, and everyone has been invited to the banquet. Fasting is not like Hajj, which is obligatory only when a Muslim is able, both physically and financially, to do it. Also, fasting is not like Khums or Zakat, which become obligatory for the additional amount of money or specific properties. Fasting also differs from daily ritual prayer, which is obligatory on everyone in any condition. Fasting is obligatory only during the blessed month of Ramadan for men and women who can abstain from eating and drinking for certain hours. Woman in Islam is equal to man in reproduction and continuation of generation. Man is father and woman is mother. Woman's role is not inferior to man. Both of them are essential for life. Allah says in Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran, "And whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, should be faithful. Such shall enter paradise, and they will not be wronged so much as speck on a date stone." Ayah 35 of Surah Ahzab of the Noble Quran also reads, "Indeed the Muslim men and the Muslim women, and the faithful men and the faithful women, and the obedient men and the obedient women, and the truthful men and the truthful women, and the patient men and the patient women, and the humble men and the humble women, and the charitable men and the charitable women, and the men who fast, and the women who fast, and the men who guard their private parts, and the women who guard, and the men who remember Allah greatly, and the women who remember, Allah holds in store for them forgiveness and a great reward." This ayah clearly shows that man and woman are equal before God. The road to perfection and sublimity is open for human beings regardless of their gender. As for social and personal rights too, there is no difference between man and woman. What seems to be discrimination in a few specific laws is due to the differences of man's and woman's nature. Therefore, some advantages are granted to man and some others to woman. God names Pharaoh's wife Asiye as a role model for all faithful. He also names Prophet Noah's wife as a role model for unfaithful. It means that woman is the axis of good and evil for the whole mankind. The reality of woman's status and dignity has been ignored in human systems throughout centuries. Some civilizations considered women inferior to men. Some others even considered woman as an animal at the service of man. In the ancient Rome, man was the absolute authority at home. He could sell, lend, or donate his wife as a means of pleasure or service to others. If she committed sin, he had the right to punish her in any way that he wished. He was entitled to even kill her. This continued in the West till Renaissance and the so-called era of Enlightenment. With the onset of the Industrial Revolution and formation of capitalist system, a new phase of woman's slavery began. The capitalist system, in order to increase consumerism and coordinate the market of supply and demand, was in need of forging a hunger for consumption of goods. In view of this, the media controlled by capitalists modeled the tastes of society in line with their vested interest. Thus, people thought that they should consume more to have a happier life. This trend led women, consequently men, to excessive consumerism. Women, however, were harmed more due to their nature. Therefore, they started a competition towards physical show-off. In other words, profiteering media inculcated the feeling in women that their value and personality was related to exposing their female beauties and attractions. This turned women into tools in the hands of companies and tradesmen. Consequently, sexuality and nakedness became a norm, and little by little it became the highest criterion to evaluate women in the West. It is a matter of laughter that this magnitude of disrespect to women and instrumental use of them has ever since been introduced as support for women's rights, and Islam has been propagated as a violator of their rights. Ruling systems in the world have raised various claims on women since old times, and most of them have been formed with the motto of equality of the rights of men and women. The Islamic Republic system is not an exception in this respect. The Islamic Republic of Iran has put forward novel view on women, and that's why it has been the target of incessant assaults by enemies for 45 years. Iran's Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi said in an interview with the Italian journalist Oriana Fallaci in 1974, "In the life of man, woman is not considered anything except when she is beautiful and charming, keeping her female features. You women have never had a Michelangelo or Bach or even a great cook. You have had nothing great. Honestly, how many women have you seen in your interviews who are able to administer a country?" Imam Khomeini, the architect of the Islamic Revolution, however, says on human dimension of woman, "Woman is a human and a great human. Woman is the trainer of society." Elsewhere, Imam Khomeini says on the Prophet's special attention to women, "The history of Islam is testimony to the unlimited respects of the Messenger of God to this noble child to show that woman enjoys a special greatness in society such that if she is not superior to man, she is not inferior." The Imam's view is in total contrast to the Western culture. Imam Khomeini considers woman as the trainer and manager of family, as believes that woman's lap is the best school for educating children. He says on the status of mother, "The many rights of mothers cannot be counted and fulfilled. One night of mother for her child is more valuable than a committed father's life. The embodiment of affection and mercy in the bright eyes of mother is the ray of mercy and affection of the Lord of the worlds. The hadith that reads, 'Paradise is under the feet of mothers,' is a reality. The Noble Quran presents the best and loftiest descriptions on women. This eternal book of guidance says in Ayah 21 of Surah Rum, 'And of his signs is that he has created for you mates from your own selves, that you may take comfort in them, and he ordained affection and mercy between you. There are indeed signs in that for those who reflect.'"
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Ayatollah Khamenei says International Glitz Day this year will be held even more gloriously as non-Muslim nations will also participate. Iran's president says Israel does